Regid Ahmed here on Gadigal land with the full story. We're bringing you a special episode today. Former Jetstar pilot Greg Lynn, who's been serving a minimum of 24 years in prison for the murder of Victorian High Country camper Carol Clay in 2020, has had his conviction overturned.
Former pilot Greg Lynn has just won his appeal over his conviction, setting aside his 32-year sentence.
The Court of Appeal saying that a substantial miscarriage of justice occurred.
You shall win for accused High Country killer Greg Lynn. A retrial has been ordered in the murder of Carol Clay. He, of course, has already been acquitted of the murder of Russell Hill. We'll have the latest. This devastated family members.
It's been described as a stunning decision made by the Victorian court. We're going to go to Justice and Courts reporter Nino Bucci. Nino, welcome. Thank you so much for talking to us today. You've been following this trial. How unexpected was this decision?
Yeah, look, Regid, I suppose the best way of putting it is that it wasn't necessarily surprising, but it was still shocking. You know, it's not every day that you have a murder case like this one that was so high profile that the whole thing will be thrown out effectively and we'll have to start again. And in this case, the judgment from the Court of Appeal was quite scathing about what happened with the prosecution in this matter, and really sort of forthright in the fact that it was such egregious conduct by the prosecutor during that trial, that there was no real choice for them other than to declare that it had been a substantial miscarriage of justice and there needed to be a new trial.
Let's go through some of what's happened, because Greg Lynn has been serving time in prison for this crime, but he's launched an appeal. What were the grounds of his appeal?
Yeah, so there were four grounds of appeal. The first two are kind of loosely bunched together and the second two are loosely bunched together. The first one is that the prosecutor's cross-examination and final address are ground around them. So effectively, there were ways in which the prosecutor did that that were unfair to Greg Lynn. The second ground is what's called an unfair approach to the prosecution's trajectory evidence. So there was a firearms expert called who basically gave evidence about the trajectory of the gunshot. So if the shotgun went off here, where the bullet would have gone, et cetera, et cetera. So the second ground of appeal was around that evidence and how that was handled at the trial. The third ground was what the Court of Appeal sort of termed the impermissible path of reasoning ground, which was basically Greg Lynn's lawyers arguing, look, the jury shouldn't have been able to come to this verdict that our client killed Carol Clay but didn't kill Russell Hill. You know, that's not something that was open to them, that he could only have committed one murder. And similarly, that the verdict was unsafe and unsatisfactory. That was the fourth ground. So the Court of Appeal found that Lynn was partially successful on those first two grounds, that basically the prosecution and the way that the prosecutor conducted the trial was unfair to Greg Lynn. That's effectively how his appeal has been successful.
So can you just explain again, so that those two central issues that the judges decided to uphold Greg Lynn's appeal, how did the judges describe them as the reason for why they believed it was a substantial miscarriage of justice?
Yeah, so in order to understand this decision, you have to understand a legal rule that's known as Brown v. Dunn, or Brown and Dunn. And what that basically sort of steps out is that in any trial, criminal trial, if a person is going to have been said to have done something, or if the evidence is said to have shown something, that must be put before the court when that person is cross-examined. So in this case, there were numerous instances the Court of Appeal found where the prosecutor effectively said, either in his closing address to the jury or in other times during the case, that he basically made these conclusions that he'd not actually put to Greg Lynn when Greg Lynn was being cross-examined. He'd effectively say, come up with these theories, but they'd not been put to Lynn, and that was a breach of these Brown and Dunn laws. It's effectively procedurally unfair.
So that was the first point that was upheld.
That was the first point the Court of Appeal found that was partially successful. The second ground was specifically around the evidence in relation to trajectory, so the shotgun trajectory. It's a police witness. They were effectively given a range of kind of scenarios to work through that was going to determine whether or what happened effectively at that campground in the Wanagatta Valley back in March 2020. You know, Greg Lynn's version of events was that the shotgun discharged while he was wrestling with Russell Hill and that killed Carol Clay. So this police officer who's an expert in firearm trajectory and all the rest of it basically runs through all these different scenarios to sort of determine whether or not it's possible that somebody, Carol Clay, could have been shot in the head over there, what height she would have had to have been at for that to happen, whether she was crouching or standing. And the Court of Appeal found effectively that the way the prosecution handled this entire evidence was unfair to Lynn and that it didn't step through it in such a way that meant the jury could use that in order to reach its verdict.
You were in court when this judgment was handed down. Can you just describe what that moment was like?
The thing that's a little bit unusual and that maybe the audience won't understand about appeal judgments is that they're very quick and perfunctory, and it's basically up to the bench, a quick yes, no, effectively, reading out the orders super quickly, and it's all over and done within sort of 5 or 10 minutes. So it's not the same kind of huge build-up and drama, I suppose, as you get when you're talking about the verdict in a criminal trial that might have been running for months. But in saying that, it's obviously Victoria's highest court. It's still a courtroom in the beautiful, big, ornate Supreme Court buildings in central Melbourne. There's still a lot at stake, but the actual hearing itself is over and done with quite quickly. And because it is short and it was a relatively small room, you've got everyone crammed in there. Lawyers for Lynn, members of the prosecution, not those that were roundly criticised by the Court of Appeal, but still members of the DPP. You know, you've got one of Greg Lynn's sons there. You've got one of the daughters of Carol Clay there. So it's still a very fraught and high-stakes atmosphere, even though the actual decision itself is over and done with fairly quickly.
So the moment that the judgment was handed down, what was Greg Lynn's reaction?
Greg Lynn was sitting with his back to us in the media in the public seats, and in front of him were the judges and the lawyers and the rest of the bar table. You could see that he turned to face the public gallery and smiled that his son was in court. You could tell that it was obviously something that he was glad to hear, and he looked somewhat relieved. Pretty soon after that, he was led out of court and back to the prison van and eventually driven back to his cell. But there was certainly a sense from him and from his son and his lawyers that they were quite pleased with the verdict. And it was, as you'd imagine, the kind of polar opposite for Carol Clay's family. Her daughter, Emma Davies, was in court and she was quite inconsolable. There were detectives from the homicide squad there who'd worked on this case, including the informant, Brett Florence, and he was visibly upset with the verdict or certainly quite downcast about that verdict. So, yeah, quite heightened emotions and the full range of emotions in court today.
So what happens now?
What happens now is that Greg Lynn will be given a new trial. The process, in a sense, kind of starts again. There's obviously some things about this case that are quite unique, and the Court of Appeal in its 59-page judgment did kind of touch on some of the things it considered about whether to actually grant Lynn a new trial or whether the whole thing should be effectively thrown out. It said that Lynn's lawyers were effectively arguing, look, if this appeal gets up on either of those first two grounds, that because of the fact that the trial miscarried because of the conduct of the Crown or the prosecution, because the DPP didn't sort of commit as part of the Court of Appeal process, they were asked to say, hey, look, if you get another crack at this, are you going to go for murder again in relation to Carol Clay and Russell Hill, or could you pursue manslaughter based on what happened in the first trial. And they were a little non-committal on that question. So Lynn's lawyers basically said, you know, the fact they were non-committal on that question, the fact that we're in this mess because of them, and that all the reporting that had gone on during the trial and after, particularly after the trial, and because of the verdict in the case, and we've seen all sorts of podcasts and TV series and other reporting in print and online about Greg Lynn since that verdict. They also said that because of that vast amount of what they described as inadmissible and prejudicial material being published, that there was a real jeopardy on the fairness of any future retrial. So Lynn's lawyers effectively were saying, look, if we get up here, we don't think there should ever be another trial of this matter. But the Court of Appeal have found, no, look, it's in our discretion. We could acquit him, but we're not going to do that. And they say, look, it's in the interests of justice that we require a new trial. The charge of murder is the most serious crime on the criminal calendar, is what they describe it as. And they basically say, look, there's a really powerful public interest here in ensuring that there is a new trial and that it goes ahead properly and fairly.
So Greg Lynn is now awaiting a new trial, and the family of the victims as well. What happens to Greg Lynn? Does he get bail? Does he remain in jail?
So far, he will remain in prison. The Court of Appeal said we're ordering that he doesn't have to appear again until the 28th of January next year, but we're not in any way prejudicing any possible applications for bail that he could make in the meantime. His lawyers, when they left court today, didn't sort of commit one way or another as to whether he would apply for bail between now and the 28th of January. So it's open to them to make those applications. Generally, people that are charged with two murders, if that's in fact what Greg Lynn will be charged with, you know, for this new trial, they won't often get bail, but this is not a normal case by any means.
And just finally, how unusual is it to see a conviction overturned in this way in your experience?
In my experience, it's quite unusual because of the breadth of errors the Court of Appeal say the prosecutor made in this case. I mean, it's unusual anyway for a murder conviction to effectively be overturned and ordered for a new trial. But in this case where the Court of Appeal are effectively saying, look, the prosecutor messed this up so badly that it's a substantial miscarriage of justice. That's incredibly rare. They go as far as to saying, look, the judge wanted to stop this from happening. He did his best to avoid this mischief, is how they describe it, during the trial. But they effectively say, look, you just can't unscramble this stuff, is the word they used at one point. There were too many errors made by the prosecutor during this trial, that it was impossible that Greg Lynn had got a fair verdict, or a safe verdict. And so I think in that case it is incredibly unusual. It's unusual that you will have a Court of Appeal judgment that is so scathing about the conduct of prosecutors during a trial.
Nino, I'm sure we're going to hear more about this. Thank you so much for updating us on a very key moment in this case.
You're welcome. Thank you.
That was Justice in Courts reporter Nino Bucci. You can find more of Nino's work on theguardian.com, and we've linked his latest piece on the Full Story page. That's it for today. This episode was produced by Karishma Luthria and Joe Koning, who also did the sound design and mixing. The executive producer of Full Story is Hannah Parks. Don't forget to subscribe or follow Full Story wherever you listen to podcasts. I'm Regid Ahmed. See you soon.